to hear. He said it much nicer than that, I think. But I'm going to take a little detour if I can real quick. I was talking this morning with Robert, a couple people in my office here. You know, Pentecostalism was the fastest spreading denomination. I hate to use that word, but it was the fastest spreading theology in the world above all else. More so than Calvinism or anything else, the Pentecostal movement spread across the globe so quickly, faster than anything else had ever done. And I want to tell you why. In the early days, now this started back in, matter of fact, one of the first ones that I'm aware of was in Wales, and it was back in the 1800s. But so when you think of the faith movement, let me tell you, faith is, it's impossible to please God without faith. You got to have faith. So the faith movement has been here since the beginning of time. The Word of God has been the same all the way through. Nobody rewrote the Bible. You understand? I mean, it's been there. But what has happened is the Holy Spirit has brought about revelation of knowledge, and God has moved in certain ways throughout history. And so when Pentecostalism started, one of the things that it was about speaking in tongues. And how it spread so fast and so quickly across the globe is that people spoke in tongues and they were called to be missionaries. And so they would get on boats. There was no planes. There wasn't any of this, you know, overnight delivery stuff. None of that happened. But they'd get on a boat and they'd go to wherever they felt God called them to. And when they got there, they'd get off the boat. They would speak in tongues as they traveled through towns and villages and so on and so forth, and they would get there, and then somebody in that village would recognize their dialect, and they would stop, and they would be planted there. How many of you ever heard of Fosworth? Anybody ever heard of this man? Listen, he was a great healing ministry as well. John G. Lake. Anybody heard of John G. Lake? Okay. So he happened the same way. When he went to Africa, God had told a woman, said to provide for him when he gets there. Here's what I want to tell you. And this is what I want to get. We talk about revival. Revival is not just for the church. You understand? You could be revived yourself. First off, you got to be vived to be revived. So at some point, you got to be on fire for God. Okay? So praise God, there's hope for us. Anybody whose wood has gotten a little wet, you ever heard about that? You know, you can have your wood dried out, praise the Lord, get set back on fire again, get revived in the Holy Ghost with that. And then what happens is you start changing the community around you. That's what when I say, are we ready for revival? That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about are we excited. We ought to be excited every Sunday, every Monday, every Tuesday, every day of the week we ought to be excited about God. I am. Brother shared with me this morning, and I won't get into all the details, but he said, you know what? I think you and I got something in common. We've got a past history here. We've walked down these paths, and we've done things that in our past we're not proud of, but that God has saw us through and carried us from one place to another place. I don't know about you, but that's something to be excited about every day I wake up. When I look in the mirror, I don't see the same guy who you're staring back at me who used to be there. That sets me on fire. Sets me on fire every morning. We all need to get it. So, you know, Pastor used to say, get up and look in the mirror. And say, ooh, remember that, Jeremy? Ooh, good looking thing. Well, if you can lie, no, I'm just kidding. Y'all are beautiful. But if you can get up and look at yourself in the mirror and say, good looking thing, you need to get up in that mirror and say, thank you, Lord, for who you made me to be today. Amen. Now, God, give me an opportunity to share the gospel so that somebody else can look in their mirror and not see the same person staring back at them either. That's what we need to be on fire for. So when I say I want revival, I don't want revival just for our church. I want revival for our community, for our state, and for our nation. Now, how many of y'all, I told you I don't watch the news, but I'm not ignorant of it either. Y'all saw what happened last night? The U.S. bombed Iran. Took out three of their nuclear sites that they got. Now, I am going to give you a piece of advice, and I don't normally tell people what to do, but I'm going to tell you what to do. You need to turn the TV off for the next 24 to 48 hours. Because what is going to happen is you're going to see such a divide amongst media. You're going to see one section of you telling the world is going to come to an end. Oh, we've done this now. You don't know what's about to unleash and so on and so forth. Then you're going to see the other side over here that says, oh, we could do no wrong. We did exactly what we're supposed to do. Let me tell you something. Turn it off and turn the voice of God on. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I read it. I saw it. But you know what? My faith in God didn't change. I didn't start going, oh my goodness, we need to start, let's build a bomb shelter today now. We're about to be drug into war. I don't know. I don't know if we're going to get drug into war. But I know this, that God is the same God yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Amen. And if he's carried us through all these other wars that we've been through, he's going to carry us through this one. Amen. And if he's taken us into the promised land with the children of Israelites, he's carrying us into the promised land. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Turn it off. You want to stay up on it? Stay up on it. Read it. You know what happens when you read? You can close the book. You can put it down. I'm not telling you to be ill-informed, but do not let other people sway your beliefs, because your belief ought to be rooted in the Word of God. And he says you're going to be okay. Now, I'm going to tell you that. The world could go to pieces. But for us, for those of us that believe, we're triumphant. Amen? I'm going to preach a little bit. If you've got your Bibles, open up to 1 Kings. This is one of my favorite stories in the Bible about two things. It's about obedience and provision. And I've actually preached on this before. But how many of you know that God's word is a living word? God will give you fresh revelation of things too as you're going through scriptures. I've read the same scripture 15 times, and then all of a sudden I'll read it the 16th time, and something new will come in my spirit and talk to me about it. With uncertain times, people move like water. Here's what I mean by that. If you've ever been to a river, there's a current that flows. Okay? If you put up a dam, it will turn the current the other way. Most of the time, all the water flows by itself. But sometimes little offshoots will take off. And here's what I want to tell you. Be an offshoot. Because the world is going this way. Everybody else is going this way with it. And if you're not careful, you're going to get swept up with what everybody else believes and what everybody else tells you. And you're going to end up following the crowd. Pastor preached a message one time. Said, are you following the crowd or are you following the cloud? I want you to know, we need to follow the cloud in these things. And this story here tells me about when things happen, who we ought to put our faith and trust in. Let's just go to the Word. Let's read it here. 1 Kings 17, verse 1. And I'm going to read a few verses. So y'all stay with me. You can read it up here. Thank you, Robbie, for that. So, oh, hold on. I got to. Now, okay. Don't laugh, Roger. I see you got yours on too, brother. All right, so, and Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall be not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed at the brook Cherith, and which flowed into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while. Everybody say after a while. There's that. Those words. Y'all ever watch that movie, the show is Chosen? We were talking about that this morning, weren't we? There's a word they always say in that, soon. Soon. Time is irrelevant with God. I want y'all to understand that. But after a while, and happened after a while, that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. Bow our heads. Lord, Father, God, I thank you for this day, and just for the next little bit of time, Lord, let it be your words that come out as I hide behind the cross. Let somebody walk out of here, Lord, a little more encouraged and closer to you. And I praise you and I give you love and glory. And in Jesus' name, amen. There are certain things. See, God sometimes will lead us. Can I take this? Are y'all hot? I'm burning up. I'm going to cut the air down to 52 when I come in here. I'm sorry, Miss Vicky. I'm not going to. I know Miss Vicky's shaking her head. Please, please no, please no. God will take you, if you notice what happened with Elijah, Elijah got a word to go somewhere where provision was. God will often lead us into a season of supply. a brook, if you will. It's where everything is flowing. Provision is there. Peace is there. Joy is there. Love is there. Everything is there, and it's there in abundance. How many of you have ever been in that situation? God is taking you somewhere, and just things are going good. Maybe you got a promotion at work. You're doing good. The paycheck gets bumped up. Maybe you find a new house you move into. Just things like everything is just clicking and coming along, and everything is just wonderful, and life is good. Have you not been there? Let me pray for you, because it's there for you, okay? I've been there. We call it Easy Street. Y'all ever have heard of that? Living on Easy Street. But there are times when that happens. But do you know that sometimes that the brook dries up? I've been there, and that supply come, and everything's been peaceful. And then all of a sudden, in those moments, things start turning. People at work start coming against you at work, and maybe they do layoffs, and you get laid off from your job, or you get a notification of a bill that you didn't know that was there, or your insurance gets hiked up, or maybe one of your children get in trouble, and these things start coming into your life, and what was once on Easy Street has now become troubled for you. But I want you to know that it's the same God who sent the water can also allow the water to dry up. Now people think, now what? Yes. Do you think God could have let the brook keep going? If he spoke the words, told Elijah that the rain was going to stop, do you not think that God could start the water back? Do you not think that that brook could have kept running and all the other land be in drought? God could do whatever he wants and has done whatever he wants. Now, Moses struck a rock, which he wasn't supposed to do, but water came out of a rock. Water could come, provision could come from anywhere at any time when it comes from God. But sometimes he allows that water to dry up, but I want you to understand something, that just because he allows that to happen doesn't change the fact that he's still our Jehovah Jireh. He is still our God, our provider. See, what we need to look at in this story here is the principle behind what Elijah did when the brook dried up, and that's what I would title it today. What will you do when the brook dries up? Will you look and will you be shaken in your faith right now as the world is about to go into, I don't know what's going to happen, but I believe and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it doesn't matter to me because God is my source for everything. I went and got fuel the other day and what was once $2.45, like a week ago, was $2.75 today, right? How many of you felt the price? How many of you remember $4.50 a gallon when we were pumping it in? You know what? I still put gas in my car. I still, when milk shot up from $1.50 to $5, I still bought a gallon of milk. I didn't let all the other things deter. Now, was I smarter? Yes, I was smarter, okay? I went shopped at Aldi's, all right? Amen. You're there with me, sister. I praise God. Aldi's. I shop at Aldi's, right? We make good decisions, but let me tell you something. I don't look at the circumstances to dictate my faith. When Elijah is sitting there and he's in this place, we get comfortable. We get complacent. In those moments of provision, we get in a place and we think, oh, I've made it, I have arrived, and all this is happening, and things are going good. And we think in that moment, hey, I'm on Easy Street now, I want to stay just right here. Sometimes God lets the brook dry up because your butt is getting too firmly planted where it's at. And it's time for you to give up off it, because what happened was you stopped looking at God and you started looking at the brook. The first thing you got to understand is, number one, don't look at the brook. The brook is not where it's at. In verse 8, it said, then the word of the Lord came to him saying, Elijah had a word before the water even was provided there. God had told him, said, go to this place and be there. God's word is what he was obedient to. It's what we need to be obedient to. When God tells you to go do something, let me tell you, it may look like it's all roses in the very beginning, and it may very well may be. But if you'll be obedient in it, where God tells you to go is where you need to be. So he goes down to this brook here, and he starts getting the food and everything else, but the brook was the channel for the provision and not the source of the provision. If you are sitting there and things are going good and you're looking at your job, you're looking at the wrong thing. If you're looking at your family who's supporting you up, you're looking at the wrong thing. If you are basing everything that you have in your goodness upon something here on this earth, you're looking at the wrong thing. You need to have your eyes on God, on Jesus. That's how when I was, can I tell you a quick little story? I'm a trash collector. I'm a trash man. I'm dead serious. I'm a trash man. There was a point in time Ashley and I had gotten down, and we used to live on Easy Street where we had good money coming in. I made some stupid choices, stupid decisions in my life. Anybody there with me? Yeah. Well, look, y'all being honest this morning. Praise God. I made some stupid decisions that got us into a stupid mess, and I didn't have any funds. We didn't have enough to pay our rent. We didn't have money coming in. We didn't know what we were going to do. You know what I did? I went down to the local temp agency, and I said, I'll do whatever you got for me to do. They said, wonderful. We got a trash truck with your name on it. I said, what? No, y'all don't understand. I've done management. I'm a numbers guy, computer guy. I'm not a trash truck guy. They said, well, do you want to make a paycheck? Well, yeah. Then you're going to pick up trash. Okay, so I get out of it. It was July. My wife's laughing. It was July. I get on the back of this trash truck, and I mean, listen, people, some of that stuff y'all throwing away, you don't need to be throwing away. I'm going to be honest with you. I tipped my trash man really good. I picked up the nastiest, funkiest, smelliest, gross trash can, and then to get on you, and then you smell like it, and I'm on the side of the road, and I am just emptying out everything, if you understand what I'm saying. And I did that. Now, I'm going to tell you, at the time, I hated it. I called my wife. You need to quit. I can't quit. We got to keep working. No, you got to quit. We got to quit. That was when I thought that all decisions that I made would influence the life that I lived. Now, let me tell you what happened. When I put my faith in me. And you know what I got? I got a trash truck. I said, I can figure this out. You know what I got? I got puke all over my shoes. But when I stopped looking at me and stopped looking at the job and I started looking at the provider and said, when I got hooked up and got some common sense knocked into this noggin of mine, I said, it doesn't matter where I work or what I'm doing. What matters is where God wants me to be to do whatever He wants me to do. When I got a hold of that, all of a sudden, everything started changing in my life. The brook had dried up. Thank goodness the brook dried up because it moved me to another place. I stopped looking at the brook and I started looking at the provider. Don't get locked in on the brook. Don't get locked in on your job. You're looking at Social Security, and we have a lot of people in our church who are on fixed incomes. But you know God is still your provider? I think most of them would testify to you today that it ain't about what's coming in. It's about what you do with it once you got it that matters most. You know, some of the most faithful givers are those ones that don't have much to give. I'm just being honest with you. I'm not beating you up about tithes. But I'm just being honest. There are people who, some of the people that you know that don't own anything will give you the shirt off their back. They got absolutely nothing to their name, and they'd give you their last 10 cents in their pocket for you. You know why? Because they're not looking to the stuff they've got. Then you've got other people who have million-dollar homes and drive all these fancy cars and all this other stuff, and they own all this stuff, and they hold it like it's some kind of prized possession to them, and they're so tight with it that if something were to leave out of it or get taken away from them, their world would fall apart. I'm going to tell you, I'd rather be poor in wealth and rich in spirituality than poor in spirituality and rich in wealth. But I'm going to tell you, when you look to the provider, you can have both. When we stop playing Christian, when we stop playing around, when we start putting our faith in action, that's when you're going to see revival again. That's when you're going to see people who truly depend upon God for everything, and that's what will happen. Number two, y'all say, after a while. When provision runs dry, purpose still flows. See, just because Elijah's brook dried up doesn't mean Elijah dried up. Now, Robert, I got a word for you. You've been going through some things. I know what's going on. I know what's happening in your life. Now, I'm going to tell you, your source and your brook may be dried up in one area, but it's waiting for you in another. Okay? And I know that because I got confirmation this morning from a text message to me saying that somebody who's not even here said the exact same thing to me that knows nothing about you and your situation. I want you to understand something, that the purpose has nothing to do with the provision. That your purpose goes, and God will provide where you go with your purpose. See, Elijah didn't miss it. He wasn't out of God's will. Most of the time we think that. When things start turning south, you know what happens? We start looking, what did I do wrong? Or is it just me? Am I the only one who does that? When things start going wrong, I start looking and saying, man, what did I do wrong? When people turn against me, you know, that's the first thing I think of. How did I offend them? What did I say wrong? What did I do wrong? Where did I mess up in all this? I don't understand. And the devil sits back and says, yeah, that's right. Yes, you did it. That's all on you. You did that. When you start losing a job and you wonder what happened here, what did I do wrong? We will beat ourselves up over this. But I want you to know, Elijah didn't do anything wrong, did he? He was still in God's will. God had told him to go there. He went where God told him to go, but the brook still dried up. I want you to know something, that if your brook is drying up, it's not because you're outside of God's will. It's because God's got somewhere better for you to be. Stop getting complacent in our lives. Man, complacency is the place where dreams and visions and God's will for you goes to die. Because when you get complacent, the devil starts working in your life. You stop looking to God. I'm telling you, I'd rather us live in a shack and God drive my steps than to live in a mansion and him not be absent from my life. I've been there, man. I've been there where life just stunk and I didn't feel like I had purpose or meaning. I've been there. And I thought it was because I didn't have money. I don't care about money. I care about my family. I care about the love that I have, the peace that I have in life, the joy that I have in life. When I did drugs and alcohol, you know what I was searching for? I was just searching to be part of something. I wanted something, and things that happened in my life that I wanted to be numb from. I didn't realize it then. I really didn't. But I realize that now, looking back on it, I was just missing so much. I was missing the love of a father. I was missing the guidance of that. I was missing true friendship, that people who say they'd do anything for you, but when the rubber met the road, they were nowhere around. I was missing all those things, and I wanted them so badly. And you know, I found them. I found them in Jesus. I found them when I started coming to a little church on the hill that started telling me what God can do in my life. And then when I let the Holy Spirit come inside of me and started filling me up, and everything that was bad like that started coming out because I was filling up that space with the Holy Spirit. But even when we started coming here, things were going good. Our brook would dry up. And Ashton and I would be going, now, honey, how are we going to do this? And I'd have to say, I don't know. And my wife does not like uncertainty. I'm going to tell you, she wants to know what's happening. If there's a problem, she's going to wonder, am I telling the truth, honey? I'm not being mean. I'm just being true. Now, me, I've been homeless several times. I can just keep on going. But I have a wife and kids. And my wife wants to know what's the fix. How are we going to get through this? How are we going to make it through this? And you know, an answer for me of I don't know was a very hard answer for me to give. Our brook dried up. Here's my response. God will provide. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm going to pray for a hole and lean on a shovel. That means if I'm going to pray for a hole and I've got a shovel, I'm going to ask God where to dig. I'm going to put my hand to the plow, and I'm going to do what I have to do, and God is going to bless it. But what will happen is if I just sat there and I stayed at the brook and I never looked and listened for the next place to go, you know what happened? I'd die right along with that drought. I want you to understand that brook, the dried up brook, doesn't mean punishment. It often means promotion. When we were in those situations there, and we were looking to see how we were going to do things, quite often we didn't have the answer, but it looked grim. There are people in this church that I've seen this happen to. Brother George, you got you a nice place to live now, don't you, buddy? Got a nice house. You got a 2-car garage? I'm a little jealous. Robbie, you got you a nice place to live now? You ain't got no 2-car garage, do you? We can be jealous together. Stacy, you got the nicest house you've ever lived in, don't you? See, I've seen people in this church, and there's others, that started one place in one area, and God would tell them to go here, and then their provision dried up. And God would tell them to go here, and they would go, and they'd meet new provision. And then it'd dry up, and they'd tell them to go here. But you know, every time they moved, they were advancing to something better than what they left behind. It's not about the brook. It's about the obedience to do what God tells you to do. When God tells you to go dig a hole, go dig a hole. When you ask God where to dig it, and he says, dig it here, and you say, but God, there's nothing here. Do you understand? I'm out here in the middle of a cornfield. Dig anyway. See, most times what looks strange to us is right on point with God. And when God told Elijah then, get up from that brook, and I want you to go into this town, and there's a widow woman in this town that's going to take care of you. I can't help but think what Elijah was thinking. You brought me down here. I had ravens, birds bringing me bread and meat. I was drinking the fruit, drinking the brook, and I was eating the good of the land here. You provide. Now you want me to go to some widow woman in the middle of a drought? Now you understand that there was no husband to provide. It was a widow woman and a child that was going to provide for Elijah. I wonder what he thought. We don't know, do we? What do we know? He went. He said, it doesn't matter what I'm thinking, and it don't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter the situation. God told me to do it, so I'm going to do it. Now, he gets up, and he goes to this town, and this little widow woman, if you haven't read the story, I want you to take the time to read the story yourself, all right? Follows after this with this woman, widow woman, because what she does is a true miracle. But see, God was setting up not just something for Elijah. He was setting up something for this widow woman. She was being obedient, too. Later on, you find out in the story here that the little widow woman's child dies. And because she was obedient in the beginning, God had now made provision for her when she needed it for her child, who was raised from the dead. See, there are times when you're called to move. There's also times when you're called to be the one to be moved to. Your faith has to be beyond the familiar. When the ravens stopped and all that stopped, you've got to be willing to do something that's out of your comfort zone. You got to get up out of that seat. You got to go somewhere that God tells you to go. And if you're the woman with the widow woman, if you're there, you've got to be obedient when someone comes to you. I have been debating all week whether or not to tell y'all this story. Matter of fact, Lord, is it okay that I share this? Oh, God, give me a sign if it's not. I am nothing special. So when I share this with you, I really hope that you understand that I'm not bragging on myself. I really hope that you get it. I promise you, I've said this before, if you knew the man I once was, you probably wouldn't talk to me now. And if you knew the thoughts that I've once had, you probably wouldn't hear the words that are coming out of my mouth. But God is so good to us, not because we're worthy, but because we're obedient. I'm going to tell you all this story, and I hope that it encourages you, because I want you to know that God is our provider. A few months back, I decided I wanted to sell my truck, and it's just impractical. My wife can't drive it, number one. She's scared to death of it. Yes, I know. Honey, one day I'll stop talking about you when I preach. That's probably not true. I'm sorry, Lord. My wife, I won't. She's the second most important thing in my life. It's hard for me not to incorporate her into stuff. So, my wife can't drive my truck. My truck has been very good to me. I bought it with, like, you know, it had decent miles on. I've had the thing for 5 or 6 years, and I have just driven the mess out of it. And it was time for me to sell my truck. It's time for me to get a car. I don't have to, I'm not doing all the other stuff I was doing before and towing lawnmowers and all this other stuff. And it was really kind of a pain when I drove my wife's car that if she needed to go somewhere, I had to stop what I was doing, drive all the way back home, get her car, get my truck, so on and so on. And so anyway, so several months ago, I had made the decision, we're gonna buy another car. And I haven't told you, I've only shared this with about 3 people. And so I said, all right, we're going to sell my truck and we're going to buy another car. And I made the decision, and I didn't really say anything about it. I just said, you know, all right, Lord, now God, I got to sell this thing for enough money to buy another car. Now, don't get me wrong. We've got a brook, but I don't have like an ocean. Okay, you understand what I'm saying? I don't have, my pockets don't run that deep. Okay. So I said, I got to sell the truck to be able to get the money, to be able to buy a car. Y'all don't be, as a matter of fact, I'm not going to tell you who it is. I get a message at 7 o'clock in the morning from somebody, not in our church. 7 o'clock in the morning, I get a message. God woke me up this morning, told me I was to send you $5,000 to buy you a car. I said, what? I said, no, I can't accept that. There was no argument. God woke me up and told me I'm to send you $5,000 for you to buy you a car. I thought, okay, all right, now what do I do, Lord? Well, I took the money. People think, well, I can't believe you took that. Elijah went to a woman who had just a little bit of oil, and a little bit of flour. And God told her to give it to him. You know what Elijah did? Elijah told her, said, you go make it for me, and God will provide for you. So I took the money, and I prayed. The Bible says that the fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. And I started praying on that investment that person made, that seed that was sown. So here I am, I got $5,000 to buy a car with. I never said a word to anybody. We put it in the bank, we left it alone, we sat it in there, and I said, I can't spend $1 more than $5,000. That's what God gave for it. So I was on the hunt. And if y'all know me, when I start getting onto something, I'm like a dog on a ham bone. So I started looking for the right car, man, and I went through them, and I found some, and boy, I really like this one, I really like that one, and I'd message this person, I'd message that person. Something would always happen, and it'd always fall through. Either it was too much money, because sometimes, you know, I said, I'm going to have big faith. They wanted 10 grand. I got 5 grand now. Let me buy your car. You out your mind, click. I know you're asking 12.5 for it, but listen, $5,000 and a prayer from God. Now, come on. Nah, they didn't buy that either. So we're looking. I'm looking, and I'm on this thing, and I'm looking, and I run across this nice little black car. It's parked in the parking lot today. Find this little black car here. Guy was asking more than $5,000. And so I messaged him, and I said, I got 5 grand. Here's what I got. This is all I got. Would you sell me the car? He kind of laughed. He said, no, I'm not selling the car for that. Did you see what the value of it was? Yes, sir, I saw that. Okay, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it. I didn't mean to insult you by any means. Thank you so much. God bless you. Have a great day. That was the end of it. We're getting ready to pack up Pastor and take him down to North Carolina to see his sister. And that's Sunday morning before church come. Was it Saturday or Sunday? Do you remember? Huh? Sunday? Sunday morning before church. I get a message from that same guy. He messaged me at 7 o'clock, says, 7 o'clock, says, I'm going to take your offer. I'll go ahead and take that car. I'll let you buy that car. Now, I'm going to tell you what it is. I bought a 2015 Infiniti Q50, fully loaded, in beautiful condition, that was booked on the price value of somewhere around $10,000. And this guy says, I'm going to sell it to you for $5,000. I said, well, thanks, but I'm leaving town. I said, I appreciate that so much, but I'm leaving right after church today. I'm preaching, and then we're packing up my pastor, and he's like my mentor, my dad, and we're going to take a road trip, and I'm going to be gone all week. So thank you so much. I'm so grateful that you said yes, but unfortunately, I'm not going to be here to buy it. He says, oh, don't worry about it. I'm going to hold on to it for you for the whole week. We go down. We have a great week. We have a good little vacation. My wife and I got to go to the beach for a day or two. Walk on the beach. We don't lay out. This is natural tan, if y'all can't tell. So, but yeah, move on. We go down there for the week, and we have a good time. We come back, and I call the guy. I message the guy, and I say, hey, you know, I'm back in town. Can I come look at this car? And I want you to know, I even told him. I said, no, sell it. You don't have to hold it for me. Sell it. That's okay. I don't even know if I'm going to buy the car. I haven't even driven the car yet. So I said, no, it's all right. I'm going to hold it for you. It was him and his wife. I get there. So we go to pick it up. I go to meet him to drive the car. Young man, about 40 years old, him and his wife. His wife is an attorney for some place in Nashville. He works insurance at home. Come to find out, he can't have children. They don't have any kids. And so we get ready to go for a test drive, and I say, are y'all bored? Am I boring you with this story? We're getting ready to take a test drive, and I just feel God tell me, don't you drive that car. You need a witness. You don't need to drive. So I tell the guy, I said, listen, man, I don't even want to drive the car. Do you mind? Can you drive me for the test drive? Can you drive me around in it? I just want to ride with you. He said, yeah. So he gets in the driver's seat, starts the car up, and we start taking off. He said, where do you want to go? I said, go hit the interstate, man. Really open it up. I want to see if this little thing will move. Okay, great. So we drive, and we're down in Mount Juliet. And he gets out, and he gets out on the interstate, and we start driving. I forget all about the car. I start asking him about him and who he is and where he's come from. And he starts telling me about him and his wife. And he says, so what do you do now? I said, well, I pastor a little church up in Portland, Tennessee. He says, you know, I grew up in church, but I left. He said, I'm no longer in church like I need to be. He said, my wife and I believe in God. We just haven't been living right. So for the next 30 minutes, I witness the goodness of God to him as we drive. And I tell him it doesn't matter what you've done or where you're at, even right now. If you love him, he loves you no matter what. We get all the way back to the house. His wife is there. We pray together. And I said, man, I'm going to buy the car with a handshake. I never even drove the car. I said, I'm going to buy the car. What? I said, yeah. I started counting out that $5,000 to him. Now this, let me tell you, God won't just take you a little bit. God will take you all the way. I buy this car, and I'm thinking, all right, I got to come back down here and get it. How am I going to do that? Well, just so happened my in-laws were traveling back up from Georgia. I call my father, and they'll say, hey, man, where you at? He says, oh, we're headed back. We're in Georgia. I thought, well, hey, how far is Mount Juliet out of your way? He said, not far at all. We argued for a little bit. I felt kind of bad about it, but they stopped and picked up the car and drove it back to Portland for me. I never drove that car until after I got the tags put on it. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you. And the car is wonderful, by the way. It drives great. It's really good. Praise God. I'm so thankful. But I am nothing special. There is nothing unique about me. I promise you that. There's nothing wonderful. I'm grateful that my wife has stuck with me through times. That's how bad I've been. My children, y'all all talk about Michaela and how beautiful and well she is. That's because of God. It's got nothing to do with me and Ashley. It's because God has made her that way. God is your provider of all things. If you'll look to him and not look to your brook, I promise you that better things are always to come for you. Everybody stand with me this morning. I want to encourage you today, as some of you, your brooks have started drying up. And I want to encourage you not to panic. We have a tendency to do that. We think that the what nows are what are we going to do. But I want you to remember this thing always. Where the natural stops, the supernatural begins. So when you can get out of your own stinking thinking and you can start letting God do things in your life, things will supernaturally happen for you. Now, whether it be a $5,000 car, I don't know. Somebody bought Pastor a $25,000 car. There's been stories in this church where people have given $50,000 towards the buildings fund. Matter of fact, that's what all this youth room was built out of, somebody giving that kind of money here. But I want you to understand it ain't about the money. It's about what you need being supplied by the one who will give it to you. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. I have to ask across the audience here, anybody? Perhaps you have never met the one who provides the brook, who makes the waters flow, who the provision is from. If that's you today and you say, I want to meet him, I want to accept Jesus as my Savior, I want to give you an opportunity to do that right now. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand right where you're at and say, Lord, I surrender all to you. I'm hesitant to ask, but I want to ask because I want to give an opportunity. If there's anybody here who's not sure where the provision is going to be coming from, maybe you're in that position and your brook is starting to dry up and you don't know where you're going to get it from or how is it going to come to you. Maybe that's the joy. Maybe that's the brook of joy in your life, or peace in your life, or finances in your life, or love in your life. And you don't know where it's going to come from. I want to encourage you. I want to pray with you this morning that you hear the voice of the Lord speaking to you on where to go for your next meeting of provision. As they played this morning, if that's you, I want you to join me up front here. I just want to pray with you and ask God to show you the pathway. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we
God is good, isn't he?
Hallelujah.
I said something. I'm going to say something. Bree has come so far. She was in my office this morning, and we were talking, and I just felt the Holy Spirit telling me to tell her how proud I was of her.